Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Mo's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice. I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. It's about, 78 degrees outside. Just a really, really nice Monday evening in Oklahoma. Had a great weekend, and hopefully you had a great weekend as well, a great Resurrection Sunday. I did. I went to church, so that was good. But we have a lot of sports to talk about on today's show. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. That's MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @TheDukeBoy100. That's @TheDukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Mo's Sports Talk in the search on Facebook, and you can like my Facebook page. I believe the show's available on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com, and also on iTunes as well. But like I said, we have a big show planned for today. We're going to break down all the eight playoff games that took place in the NBA this weekend. We're going to do that, and then we'll also, if we have some time, we'll talk some Major League Baseball. We'll also talk some hockey playoffs. We'll also talk some NFL news as well. So, and maybe we'll get into some college basketball news as well. I know it's the off season, but there's still guys deciding if they're going pro or not, so we'll definitely talk about that on today's show. Before we talk NBA playoffs, if you did see The Fate of the Furious, you can let me know. I'm planning on watching it on Wednesday, so I should have a review for you on Friday. But if you have seen The Fate of the Furious, I heard it made a lot of money, you can let me know and you can give me your thoughts. I do have some questions to ask about that movie. But let's turn our attention to the NBA playoffs, and let's talk about the eight games that took place this weekend. Let's start with the four games that took place on Saturday. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they did survive and beat the Pacers. I mean, they escaped beating the Pacers 109-108. LeBron James, he had 32 points and 13 assists. You know what he's going to do is playoff time. The only issue with LeBron James is his free throw shooting. That was poor. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Kyrie Irving, he scored 23 points. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well. He was only 11-27, but he did have 6 assists. Kevin Love scored 17, 15 of those coming in the first half. Channing Frye added 11. They need more from J.R. Smith. They're going to score points, but if you're a Cavs fan, you want to see more from J.R. Smith. He only scored 6 points. That's not enough. J.R. Smith can give me more than 6 points. Going forward offensively, you'd like to see more from J.R. Smith. But the Cavs did shoot 54% from the field. They hit 11 threes. But what really kept the Pacers in the game was the fact that the Cavaliers were 14-27 from the free throw line. That has to improve going forward. And that's been an issue, especially for LeBron James this season, knocking down free throw shots. I mean, that's fundamentals. You got to knock down your free throws. This game wouldn't have been that close if they had knocked a decent percentage from the free throw line. They might have even covered the spread. So for those of you who care about such things, I thought the Cavaliers were going to cover that spread. That did not happen. But yeah, going back to the game, Paul George, he had 29 points and 7 assists. Lance Stephenson scored 16 off the bench. They need more from Jeff Teague going forward. The Pacers, he scored 15, but on 3 of 10 shooting. But you have to give the credit to the Cavaliers. At the end of the game, the Pacers were down 1 with about, I don't know how many seconds, was it 20-something seconds left to go in the game. So they had the last possession, and they did a great job of trapping Paul George. He kicked it to C.J. Miles, and he missed a shot. You live with someone else beating you. You don't let Paul George beat you, their best players. So that was a very, very smart defensive play by the Cavaliers. So they get the win. They're up 1-0. And game 2 of that series starts in about 25 minutes from now on TNT. But looking ahead in this series, a key for the Cavaliers, obviously making the free throws. We talked about that. But defensively, they still have to do a better job defensively. They gave up 108 points. They have to do a better job defensively. They showed some signs of playing some better defense, but they're going to have to pick that up. That's going to be key for the Cavaliers going forward in this series. So the Cavaliers up 1-0. We'll see if they can make it make it 2-0 tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks on Saturday, they whipped the Raptors, and I mean beat down the Raptors 97-83. The Greek freak Giannis Antetokounmpo, got his name right. He had 28 points and 8 rebounds. Malcolm Brogdon added 16. Greg Monroe had 14 points and 15 rebounds off the bench. Only 5 turnovers, so they did a great job of not turning the basketball over. They were 24-37 from the free throw line. The Raptors only attempted 15 free throws. They were the more aggressive team. And defensively, their length really bothered Toronto Raptors. That was a key in the Bucks getting the victory. Their length defensively definitely gave the Raptors all kind of trouble. For Toronto, DeMar DeRozan, he scored 27 points, but on 7-21 shooting, did have 8 rebounds. Serge Ibaka scored 19 points, had 14 rebounds, but he struggled in the second half. Cal Lowry, obviously he has to be a lot better, only scoring 4 points on 2 of 11 shooting. That's not nearly good enough. He's obviously one of their better players. They're great back. When you think Toronto, you think about their backcourt. They're going to need more from Cal Lowry, obviously. They shot just 36% and 5 of 21 from threes. They only scored 37 points in the second half. Great Bucks defense again. The length, the athleticism really gave the Raptors fits, especially in that second half. So that's going to be an issue for the Raptors to deal with going forward. Game 2, obviously, is a must-win for Toronto. You can't lose both of your games, both of your home games, and think you're going to win the series. I think you're going to see a much better effort from Toronto in Game 2. I think Toronto gets back in the series, but the Bucks already did what they needed to do, which was still a road game. They did that. We'll see if Toronto can even up this series. I think they can. Like I said, a key for them is going to be can they be more in attack mode, get to the basket, not settle for jumpers, and get to the foul line. I think that's going to be a key for DeMar DeRozan and also Kyle Lowry. He has to be a lot better as well. And also Serge Ibaka, he was really good. His energy, his effort in the first half, he has to play like that in both halves. So we'll see if they can do that in Game 2 of that series, which I believe is on Tuesday night. So we'll see what happens there. I picked Toronto to win the series. I'm still pretty confident. I still think they can win at least a game in Milwaukee, but they have to win Game 2 on Tuesday night. Also on Saturday night, the Spurs, they destroyed the Grizzlies 118-82. Just ugly game. Kawhi Leonard, he scored 32 points. LaMarcus Aldridge had 20 points and 6 rebounds. Tony Parker added 18. They shot 53% from the field, and they hit 10 threes. The big thing for the Spurs offensively was Tony Parker. He played really well, and you'd like to see that as a Spurs fan, if you're a Spurs fan out there. Marcus Gasol, he scored 32 points, but the Memphis Grizzlies shot just 29% from the field. They scored just 30 points after the they scored just 52 points after the first quarter. They scored 30 points in the first quarter, played really well. They were knocking down shots left and right, but they struggled the rest of the game, only scoring 52 points. So the Grizzlies are going to have to make a lot of adjustments on both sides of the court. They have to do a better job defensively. They have to do a better job of scoring the basketball going forward if they're going to make this a series. Like I said, I thought Memphis could win maybe a game or two, but the Spurs are just too talented. Game 2 is tonight at 8:30. I think the Spurs go up 2-0, so we shall wait and see on that. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Also, we can talk about the late game on Saturday night. The Utah Jazz, they go up 1-0, beating the Clippers 97-95. Joe Johnson, he scored 21 points, including the game-winning shot at the buzzer to lift Utah to that 1-0 series lead. Gordon Hayward, he had 19 points and 10 rebounds. George Hill added 16. Great defense. And also, the Utah Jazz did a great job of getting the game played at their pace. They want to play that slow, grinded-out pace. The Clippers want want to get up and down. In game two, the Clippers are going to have to make this game go up and down and get in their flow, get this game up and down. That's going to be a key for the played at a fast pace. Blake Griffin, he had 26 points and 7 rebounds. Chris Paul, he was really good, especially down the stretch. He had 25 points and 11 assists. DeAndre Jordan had 10 points and 15 rebounds, but they shot just 44% from the field, and they also had 15 turnovers. Again, key for the Clippers, you got to push the pace. But this was a bad loss. Make no mistake about it. If you're the Clipper fan, you have to feel really really bad about this loss, especially due to the fact that Rudy Gobert, he went out early. I think after the first play, he went out with an injury. He's going to miss game two. This is a game the Clippers really need to win. The Utah Jazz without one of their better players, and give the Jazz credit for being resilient and winning without one of their best players. But this is a horrible, horrible loss. Horrible loss for the Clippers. Going forward, again, they got to push the pace. I think their defense was pretty good. I think their defense was really good. Holding the Jazz to 97 points, if you had told me they would hold the Jazz to 97 points, I'd say the Clippers win. But give the Jazz credit, they were really good defensively. And also, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul were really good, but they need more. They need more from Jamal Crawford. They need more from J.J. Redick. He's a guy who can shoot the three. They're going to need more from him going forward. Also, they have 15 turnovers as well, so you have to limit your turnovers going forward. So that's going to be a key for the Clippers. Obviously, another must-win game. Anytime you lose game one on your home court, game two, you expect the Clippers to come out like gangbusters, knowing that if they go down 0-2, then that's just about it. And this could be a wrap for this team as we know it. So since Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and J.J. Redick are all free agents this offseason, so you would expect to see a lot of energy, a lot of effort coming into game two. So I still like the Clippers in seven. I'm going to stick with that, but the Jazz are definitely better than what I thought, especially winning without Rudy Gobert most of the game, just about all of the game. It's very, very impressive. So we'll see going forward what happens in game number two. Right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. Again, if you've seen the Fate of the Furious, let me know and call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We do have a special guest, a coach, a former coach of the Texas Longhorns. Mac Brown is going to stop by. He wants to give us his thoughts on the playoffs. He wants to give us his playoff prediction, and then we'll talk about the games that took place in the NBA on Sunday. We'll do all that next on Mo Sports Talk.
Sean Khalid from Man. Toshine.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam, it's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one-eye stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it. You use plastic, we bout cash. I see some people ahead that we gon' pass, yeah.
I never fear death or dying. I only fear never trying. I am whatever I am. Only God can judge me now. One shot, everything rides on two nights. Even if I've got three strikes, I'ma go for it. This moment, we own it. I'm not to be played with.
That I ride with be the same ones that I die with. Put it all out on the line with. If you're looking for me, you can find wit in the new car or the crown with. My new bra does a fine chick in the weather squad I'm down with.
Let me answer that one for Chris. You know what it is. I didn't get to get on on Friday, but I want to give my please. Let me answer that one for Chris. I want to give my NBA playoff predictions. I'm sorry for all you Oklahoma City fans. You saw the game last night. It was ugly. That's my prediction. I'm telling you, it's going to be a real quick playoff series for the Oklahoma City Thunder, but I'm picking Houston to win it all. Please let me answer that one for Chris. James Harden, he's a real MVP. I'm letting you know. The man is really good. The beard, fear the beard. We all fear the beard down here in Texas. You sure? And Oklahoma in the East. I really don't care about the East, but I'm going to stick with Cleveland. I think Cleveland will do it again. I think they'll get to the NBA Finals, but they'll lose to Houston because Houston is from Texas and everything, and Texas is much, much better. So please, let me give it back to Mo. Please, let me answer that one. Let me answer that one for Chris.
Well, thank you, former coach of the Texas Longhorns, Mac Brown, stopping by, giving us his thoughts on the NBA playoffs. So there you go on that. And those are his thoughts. We'll see. We'll talk more about that Houston-Oklahoma City game coming up in a minute. Don't forget, if you want to talk NBA playoffs, you want to talk hockey playoffs, you want to talk Major League Baseball, you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Let's talk about some of the games that took place on Sunday. Washington, they beat Atlanta 114-107. All five starters were in double figures for the Washington Wizards. John Wall, he was special. He scored 32 points. He had 14 assists. Bradley Beal had 22. Markieff Morris had 21 points and 7 rebounds. Great ball movement by Washington. Also, they did a great job of getting in transition. They had 28 assists as a team. For Atlanta, Dennis Schroeder, he had 25 points and 9 assists. Paul Millsap scored 9 team, but only had 8 shot attempts. That's not enough. You have to give him some more shot attempts. They were the more aggressive team. They were 32 of 39 from the free throw line, but they shot just 44%. Not that Washington shot much better. They only shot 45%, but Atlanta turned the ball over 21 times. You're not going to win on the road in the playoffs when you turn the ball over 21 times. That's just not good enough. Washington, they can really score. Their defense is still a little suspect to me, but their backcourt, they can really score the basketball. So if Atlanta wants to give themselves a chance to win, they have to limit their turnovers. That's going to be a big key going forward against the Washington Wizards. We'll see what happens in game two. I think it'll be a competitive game. But the Washington Wizards, I mean, they can really, really score the basketball. John Wall is a really excellent point guard. They're really fast. They do a great job of getting out in transition. So we'll see if they can get the job done in game two. What did I pick in this series? I think I picked Washington in 6 games, so we shall see what happens. I think Atlanta will probably win a couple of games in the ATL, so we'll see what happens in game 2. Also on Sunday, the Golden State Warriors, they beat Portland 121-109. Kevin Durant, he scored 32 points, had 10 rebounds. His first playoff game with Golden State, he was really efficient. Steph Curry scored 29. Draymond Green, he was a big story. He had 17 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, and 5 block shots. He does a little bit of everything. He's like a Swiss Army knife. He is the ultimate stat sheet stuffer. I know a lot of people don't like him, and sometimes I don't like Draymond Green as well, kicking people in the private areas and doing all that kind of nonsense. But he's definitely brings the energy to that team on both ends of the court, especially on the defensive end, and he was a big difference maker late for Golden State. Ian Clark added 12. I thought he was really good off the bench for Golden State. They shot 59% from the field, but the key was they got stops in the fourth quarter. This game was really close to three quarters, but in the fourth quarter, Golden State got big defensive stops, and that was the big difference of the game. For Portland, C.J. McCollum, he scored 41 points. He also had 8 rebounds. Damian Lillard scored 34 points, but they need more help. The backcourt for Portland was big time. They were amazing, but they need some more help. They need more from Aminu. It would be really good if Nurkic could play for him, but if not, they need more from Aminu. They need more from Evan Turner, even though he scored, 10 or 11 points, but they need more from the role players. But the backcourt, they're going to score. There's no doubt about that. Portland is going to score, but they need more help from their backcourt. And they shot just 43% from the field. I still think Portland can win a game in this series, but I think that's about it. Avoid getting swept. I think that'll be key for Portland. Can they just avoid getting swept? That would be big if they can do that. But they're going to score, and you got to like the fearlessness of their backcourt. But I just think Golden State just has too many weapons for Portland. I just think way too many. Kevin Durant, Curry, Green. Klay Thompson didn't even play that well, so that's a scary, scary basketball team. We'll see what happens on game 2 on Wednesday night. Also, the game that really surprised me on Sunday, the Bulls, they stunned the Celtics, beating them 106-102. I wasn't completely shocked. I thought the Bulls had a chance, but I didn't think they were going to pull the upset in game 1. Jimmy Butler, he was the big difference maker. He scored 30 points. He had 9 rebounds. Bobby Portis had 19 points and 9 rebounds. comes off the bench. Three other players were in double figures for the Bulls. They had five players in double figures, and also they did work on the glass. They were plus 17 on the glass. And Boston, they've had an issue keeping people off the offensive glass all season long. They're going to have to do a much better job of boxing out against the Chicago Bulls. You can't get dominant on the glass like that. For Isaiah Thomas, he scored 33 points and 6 assists. Prayers go out to his family. This weekend, his sister passed away at the age of 22 in an automobile accident. I don't even know how he played in the game. To play that well, I don't have I'm an only child, so I don't really know about that. But I can only imagine losing a loved one and still have to go out and do your job. And I probably wouldn't have played game. One. That's just me, but Isaiah Thomas played really, really well, dropping 33 points and 6 assists. He definitely wasn't the reason why Boston lost the game. Al Horford had 19 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds, but they have to get more scoring from others. Jay Crowder, he has to give me some more points. Also, Avery Bradley, he has to play a little better as well. So Kelly Olynyk, I think he can score in double figures. That's going to be key for the Boston Celtics going forward. Obviously, the Bulls did what they needed to do, studying Boston in Game 1. I still like Boston this series. Obviously, they have to win Game 2, but I can definitely see Boston going to Chicago and getting one of those two in Chicago. So I like the Celtics to come out and play really well in Game 2 and tie this series up at one game apiece. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle the funeral for Isaiah Thomas' sister, how that affects the team. That's kind of interesting. That's a little bit of an unknown, and I know the Bulls have a lot of experience. But a key, again, for the Celtics, they have to keep the Bulls off the board. So we'll see what happens in Game 2. I believe that's on Game 2 on Tuesday or Wednesday night. I get confused. There's so many games. So anyway, we'll see what happens in Game 2. I believe that's on Tuesday night. But and let's talk about one more game that took place on Sunday. It wasn't much of a game. Houston, they destroyed Oklahoma City, beating them 118-87. That's right, I said 118-87. James Harden, he scored 37 points. He had 9 assists and 7 rebounds. Patrick Beverley, he added 21. He played really well on both ends of the court. Nene, he had 15 points and 7 rebounds. They shot 50% from the field. They didn't shoot the three ball well, but what they did, they were plus 15 on the glass, and also they were plus 24 in points in the paint. They dominated second chance points 31-4. That can't happen. If Oklahoma City has any chance of beating Houston, Houston came out Oklahoma City. The Thunder, they like to dominate you on the glass. Houston cannot beat the Thunder by beating them at what they're best at. That cannot happen. They have to do a better job on the glass. They have to do a better job of scoring in the paint and keeping Houston out of the paint. And also, they cannot get dominated in second chance points going forward. You got to bring more energy and effort on the defensive end. That's going to be key for Oklahoma City. Offensively, Russell Westbrook, he scored 22 points, went on 6-23 shooting. He had 11 rebounds, 7 assists, but 9 turnovers. So not a good game at all for, in my opinion, the MVP. And a lot of people were saying, well, look, James Harden, now he's the true MVP. Look, man, the MVP race is over. The votes were in before the playoffs started. So that has no relevance on the MVP race at all. Okay, so you got to forget about that. For the Thunder, they have to play some better basketball offensively and defensively. Andre Roberson, he scored 18 points, was a little bit of fool's gold. He did hit some threes, give him credit, but they need more from Victor Oladipo. He only scored 6 points on 1 of 12 shooting. I know this was his first playoff game, but he has to be better. And also, the bigs at Houston can't outplay the bigs of Oklahoma City. Clint Capella and Nene cannot outplay Steven Adams and Cantor. If Oklahoma City has any chance to win this series. That can't happen. Also, Oklahoma City shot just 37% from the field. Someone has to step up. Someone other than Westbrook has to step up. And again, I think that's going to be Oladipo and the bigs of Oklahoma City, especially Cantor. I think Cantor is a guy who can really score and rebound. They have to be better in those areas. They have to be better at scoring in the paint And also, they have to do a much better job on the glass. And also, defensively, I cannot stand that switching that they did. The 5-1 switch, switching, having Kanter trying to guard or Adams trying to guard Harden one-on-one, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, I'm sorry. That can't happen. That's like me trying to go out there and trying to guard Adams or Kanter in the paint. That I'm barbecue chicken, in the words of Shaq. That can't happen. You cannot have your big on an island against James Harden. That's just a recipe to get beat down, and that's what took place on Sunday. So they have to. You cannot switch that screen. When you switch, you have to fight over top of it, and you have to double trap that screen, trap that ball screen, force James Harden to pass to someone else, and you have to read and recover. But you cannot have you cannot have Kanter or Adams, maybe Gibson, maybe, but even then, I don't like that at all. You cannot have your big trying to guard James Harden one-on-one. That is a recipe to getting swept. And I still don't see a sweep happening. I picked Houston in six. I still think Oklahoma City can win a couple games in OKC. If they want to win the series, if they want to have a realistic chance of winning the series, they have to win game two in Houston on Wednesday night. It's a must-win game. Because I don't think Oklahoma City can beat this Houston team 4 out of 5 times that they do go down 2-0. Even though three of the games will be in Oklahoma City, I still don't think they can win 4 out of 5. Could be wrong, but to me, if they want to have a realistic chance of winning this series, they need to win game two on Wednesday night in Houston. So we'll see if they can get that done. So if you want to talk NBA playoffs, it's still not too late. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. But let's turn our attention quickly to a little Major League Baseball. The Yankees took on St. Louis in Yankee Stadium this weekend, and the Yankees sweep. They sweep the St. Louis Cardinals. Game one, the Yankees win 4-3. How good was Masahiro Tanaka? He went 6 1/3 innings. He only gave up 5 hits and 3 runs. So a really good performance there for Tanaka. You know, he struggled in his first game of the season, but he was really good on, I believe that was on Friday night. And then also, Sterling Castro, he had a home run. He had 2 RBIs, and Aroldis Chapman, he got the save on Friday in Game 1. In Game 2, the Yankees won 3-2. CeCe Sabathia was really good. He went 7 1/3 innings. He only gave up 3 hits and 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts. So that's the key for the Yankees. Obviously, they have to get their bats going, but I still think in the Yankee Stadium, especially, they're going to get their bats going. But the key is starting pitching for the New York Yankees. In Game 3, the Yankees did win 9-3. They got the bats going. Greg Bird hit a 2-run home run in that one. The Yankees are 7-4 now, winning 7 straight games. Up next, the White Sox. So I like the way the Yankees are playing right now. Again, the bats are going, but the key will be the starting pitching. And also, the bullpen, they have to pitch well as well. But I still think this Yankee team, and I know it's early on, but they have a chance to make the playoffs. That's the key. I don't know about winning the AL East. Boston's going to be really tough to beat. And that kind of made me want to throw up there saying that Boston is a team to beat in the AL East. I'm sorry. You know, I don't like the Red Sox, but it's the truth. You know, you're going to get honest sports talk on Moe's Sports Talk. But I still think the Yankees can get that wild card spot, so we'll see what happens there. I have been shocked so far. The Cubs, they've lost 3 games in a row. They're only 6-6, and that's kind of shocking. But look, obviously, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I still think the Cubs are going to be there at the end. But they're 6-6 right now, so we'll see if they can play a little bit better baseball after losing 3 games in a row. And the Indians, that's really shocking to me. The Indians are below 500. They're 5-7 right now. With all that talent, I am very shocked about that. But again, it's a marathon, not a sprint in the Major League Baseball. So we can talk about that. We can also talk about the hockey playoffs as well. Man, the Montreal Canadiens are up 2-1 on the Rangers. After Lundqvist's first game, the goalie for the Rangers, I said, oh, man, the Rangers got this series. But they've been really struggling. Give it up to the Canadiens. They've won. They won game 2 in overtime, and they win last night up 2-1 at that series. You have to give Canadiens credit. And also the Washington Capitals. Taking on Toronto. They're tied at 1 game apiece. Game 3 is tonight. I really thought the Capitals were going to have an easy time in that series, but so far that is not the case. So we'll see what happens in Game 3. tonight. It should be very, very interesting, so we can talk about that. We can also talk NFL news, still waiting to see where Adrian Peterson is going to land, and also Marshawn Lynch. It looks like he's heading to the Raiders, but when is he going to be heading to the Raiders? So we can talk about that as well. Obviously, I think that would be a nice addition for the Oakland Raiders, even though that's not their biggest issue. Their biggest issue is defensively, especially in that secondary. That's where the issue is. But anytime you can add a Marshawn Lynch, that's a nice addition to your team. So we can talk about that. We can also talk about the NBA draft coming up, as well as the NFL draft, which is closer, which is in 10 days. We'll talk more about that next week. But the NBA draft, Josh Jackson, he has declared for the NBA draft. No shock there. I think he's a big-time talent. He's a top-five pick. So I'm still shocked that Miles Bridges did not go to the NBA draft. So I guess he wants to win that ring. So we'll see what happens there. Still waiting for Grayson Allen to make his decision. That's one of the biggest decisions left for in college basketball. Where will Grayson do? So we shall wait and see on that. But again, thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be Friday at 5:30 Central Time, God's will. There's a chance of bad weather in Oklahoma, so that could be canceled. So, just pay attention to my social media and I'll let you know. But the plan is to have a show 5:30 on Friday. We'll talk NBA playoffs. We'll talk anything else going on in the world of sports. So have a blessed rest of your week. God is good. Trust in him. And we'll talk to you next time on Mo's Sports Talk.